There are some devotees here this evening who are not with us this morning. So just for your benefit particularly, introduce the topic that I'm going to be discussing while visiting here is the prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, which Prahlad offered to Lord Nrisimhadev, just after Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance and his killing of Aranyakashipu, and when that business was over, the Lord's anger was still very, very strong, and all the personalities, demigods and Lakshmi Devi, and everyone was very much afraid and wanting the Lord's anger to calm down, but nothing could calm his anger down, and Prahlad's prayers managed to accomplish that. So that's the subject that we mentioned this morning. Because while visiting, I covered what happened with Prahlad's teachings before that. So it's a nice conclusion to that presentation. Again, just review a couple of things that came from this morning's class. It's very worthy of note that while other personalities were completely afraid, Prahlad was totally unafraid of that exhibition of the Lord's anger. In fact, it's one of the qualities of a devotee. The quality of pure devotion is that he was fearless. He was fearless because he had complete shelter. And he knew the compassionate, kind qualities of his Lord, although the Lord was exhibiting something other than kindness, it seemed. He was so fierce in his mood, having just killed the most powerful demoniac person in the universe. It was just terrifying everybody. The Lord's anger outshone that terrible personality. But still, Prahlad was not afraid. He knew the character of the quality of his master. And then after encouragement from Brahma and being obedient to Brahma's indication, he went before the Supreme Lord to pacify him. But mind you, he's just a little boy. And next to persons who are the eldest personalities in the universe and the leading personalities of the universe. So he was taking his rightful position of being very respectful to them, but because of their indication, he was following their request to come before the Lord, and he placed his head just before the lotus feet of the Lord. And it's explained in the introduction, Prabhupada says, but by the Lord's lifting Prahlad up and placing his paw, I guess, his hand on Prahlad's head, Brahmagyan, spiritual strength, spiritual potency, surcharged the body of Prahlad. He was already in a position of pure devotion, in a quality unlike any of the other demigods and personalities assembled there. but by the touch of the Supreme Lord, who is imbued with great spiritual strength. And then he began offering his prayers. So the first thing that he addressed the Lord with was a statement of his personal insignificance and disqualification or lack of qualification to come before him. We find something like that as Sanatan Goswami comes before the Lord, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami, maybe some of you know this from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Sanatan Goswami, materially speaking, was, well, the way Prabhupada describes it was, it was equivalent to the prime minister. There was a king, but as minister to the king, he was practically running the country. At least the kingdom of that particular king, which was a good part of India today. And his brother was finance minister. So, even in today's India government, imagine prime minister and finance minister. And because of that position, he had enormous respect from everybody. And in addition, by birth, he was from a Brahmana family, a Saraswati Brahmana family. And so he was highly learned, because the government at the time was Muslim government. He knew the appropriate languages, just like during British rule, leaders learned English. So he knew Persian and Arabic and Sanskrit, and he was in Bengal, so he knew Bengali. He was fluent in 7 different languages. And an expert in his field of diplomacy. And in fact, he was so powerful that the Nawab, the Muslim king, the ruler at the time, was able to completely hold the Hindu community in check because of the fact that one of their own, Sanatan Goswami, who was so qualified, was in the leading position. So when Sanatan Goswami wanted to quit, leave his post as minister, and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, he didn't want him to do that for anything. Would have made double trouble for him. He would have had to do that service himself, because there wasn't another person so qualified. And then that meant he wouldn't have been able to hold the confidence of his citizens as well. And moreover, because Sanatan was in the position of government, meant the king could go off with his armies and conquer new territories. It was a good arrangement. So he was very upset. He imprisoned Sanatan Goswami so that he wouldn't go anywhere. But by various means, Sanatan Goswami escaped. And he came to Lord Chaitanya's association. And in his association, he submitted, much like Prahlad's prayers, the initial part of his prayers, he submitted, "I have no qualification." In fact, just the opposite. And the opposite is that people say, "I have all kinds of qualification." They say, "I'm so learned. I'm so wise." And before coming in contact with you, I was so foolish that I was agreeing with them. Yeah, so learned, so wise. Like maybe some of the persons here in this room get some respect from, "Oh, you're going to IIT. Oh, you're cream of the crop. And like Sanatana Goswami, some of you may be thinking, yes, so smart, so successful, so intelligent. But then Sanatana Goswami's submission was, to prove to you it's not true, I don't even know who I am. And therefore I submit to you, please instruct me, who am I? So, we were discussing this point in Singapore before coming here. We're all carrying some self-conception. And unless and until there's self-realization or at least spiritual guidance on the path of self-realization, for sure we're carrying a misconception. Some kind of conception of illusion as to who we are. Illusion means something that's in the realm of the external energy. Something that today we are and tomorrow we aren't. Like even our life, what to speak of the particular characteristics of this life. Listening to Prabhupada explaining this on a tape just at lunchtime, someone may be proud. I'm American, he was saying, or proud, I'm Indian. But we don't know what will be in our next life. How long? For some time we may carry that pride, or pride or some other thing. I'm academically very competent, or whatever other something somebody might be proud of. I'm very wealthy. I'm very something, whatever. And that'll last for some time. Maybe it may, like our nationality, unless we change our nationality, may last for a lifetime. And then something else. And we don't know what that will be. If in the course of leading our life foolishly, our next birth will be accordingly. So we're carrying misconceptions. Most certainly. If we weren't carrying misconception, the proof of that is, if we weren't carrying misconceptions, we'd be self-realized. We're not self-realized, so we're carrying some misconceptions. And therefore, based on whatever particular conception of life we have, that's where our thoughts go. And that's where our actions go. According to the conception of self, our actions will follow. Mentioned this morning, like distractions that come when we're chanting, or just in a broader sense, distractions on the path of self-realization, distractions on the path of attaining pure devotion. We get distracted. Very easily we get distracted. And was the category of distractions according to our self-conception, either what we think we are or what we want to become. So, when coming before a superior, in this case, Sanatana Goswami is coming before Lord Chaitanya as not as the Lord and Supreme Being, although he was, but as a superior, as a sannyasi, as one to receive instructions from. It's wise. He did a very wise thing. He took things at a very fundamental level of understanding who am I, and build upon that other things. Once I understand who I am, how do I conduct my activity accordingly, appropriately? So that's where, that's a little introduction, that's where Prahlad's prayers begin, stating his own disqualification for pacifying the Lord, saying that Lord Brahma and all of the other exalted personalities of the whole universe, they were unsuccessful. So how can I be unsuccessful? How can I be successful in pacifying the Lord? I don't have any qualification to do so. But then very quickly, he begins to describe what qualification does exist at all, anywhere, in anybody, that could possibly bring the attraction of the Supreme Lord and successfully satisfy him. He said, there's only one thing that I know of, and that's pure devotion. He lists opulences, worldly opulences, none of which attract the Supreme Lord. Wealth, fame, knowledge, beauty, austerity, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, mystic yoga powers. None of these things can attract the Lord, but pure devotion attracts the Lord. And he gives the example of Gajendra. What elephant can attract the attention of the Supreme Lord? But because he was endowed with great devotion from his previous life's activity, he attracted the attention of the Supreme Lord, who came to protect him. So where we ended up this morning was Prahlad saying, even if a brahmana comes before the Lord, who is decorated with all of the 12 qualities, 12 excellences, or qualifications of a brahmana, if that person doesn't have loving devotion for the Supreme Lord within their heart, if they're not one who has taken shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, then that person cannot attract the Lord nearly so much as a person, although he may be low-born and even of a low occupation, if he's dedicated his mind, words, wealth, and life in service to the Lord, then that person is in the superior position for favorably attracting the attention of the personality of Godhead. In fact, that person can purify his whole family, not only himself. Whereas this other individual, brahmana, very, very nicely decorated with good qualities, good brahminical qualifications, he cannot even purify himself. So the essence of this is that for self-purification, and in that purified state, to satisfy the Supreme Lord, not the main feature, but the only feature, is the quality of one's devotion. Although in this world, I'll read the list of these 12 qualifications. The Sanskrit is here, and the English translation is here. These are very high-grade qualifications. If we find any one of these 12, were to speak of combination, were to speak of all 12 in one person, well, we don't find it. But if we did find it, we would be struck. and such a person would be adored, worshipped, literally, in this world. And there are nice qualities. If a devotee of the Lord had any of these qualities, very nice to have these qualities. One who is a follower of, strict follower of religious principles. One who always speaks truthfully, satyam. Controlling the senses by undergoing austerities and penances. Dhamma. Being free from jealousy. That's rare to find in this world, just even that one. One who has no envious regard towards the attainments of others. No jealousy. Very intelligent. Very tolerant. Creates no enemies. Performing yajñas, giving charity, being steady. There's one. Being steady. Being well versed in Vedic scripture. And Mahavrata observes great vows. Like Mahatma Gandhi's fasting for so many days, right, until his political objective was accomplished. Became famous for it. Became very powerful because of it. Probably not so well known here, but in America during wartime, Dick Gregory relegates all those enticements into the rubbish bin. No interest. Now mind you, Prahlad becomes a king, which means he has to deal with all those things. He does deal with all. And then he gives the example of Gajendra. You know the Gajendra Moksha Lila. Previously he was a great king. But he made the how-to manual for the execution of devotional practices. Bhagavat bhakti hinasya jati shastram japas tapaha apranasya eva dehasya mandanam loka ranjanam. Similar translation, meaning one is born in a high family like that of a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya, but is not a devotee of the Lord, all his good qualifications as a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya are null and void. Indeed, they are considered decorations of a dead body. Another is from Padma Purana. Maybe some of you have heard this verse, where the teaching, the message is given that one may have, very similar to what Prahlad is saying here, one may have all perfections, all of the six duties that a brahmana must perform. Sat, karma, nipuno, vipra, mantra, tantra, visharada, avaishnava, guru, nasyat. Vaishnava Svatvacho Guru. So this is speaking about who, the qualification of a spiritual master. So, but the idea is similar. One may have all the perfections of mantra, pronunciation of mantras. It takes years to learn. And tantra, how to perform the various ceremonies and rituals, how to set up the whole thing, how to execute the whole thing from beginning to end, and the procedures of worship of the deity can be very, very technical, very specific in procedures, very knowledgeable in the scripture, can teach and give great orations in the scripture. So having all those qualifications. But a Vaishnava, if that person is not a devotee of the Lord, guru na syat, cannot be considered a spiritual master. But Vaishnava swapacha guru, one is situated fixed in the qualities of devotion, then even one may be of not such high birth and high material qualification, that person can be considered as a spiritual master. So, again, the essence of what Prahlad is saying is material qualification does not satisfy the Supreme, which means it doesn't satisfy us either, because our real happiness is connected to the Lord's happiness because we're parts and parcels of the Lord. Like the simple example of giving nourishment to the hand. It doesn't happen by the hand massaging the food. Nice texture. Nice temperature. But there's no nourishment. No strength will come to the hand. But if the hand gives the food to the stomach, and then nourishment goes to the hand, as well as all the rest of the body. So, same. Real satisfaction, self-satisfaction, is connected to the satisfaction of the Supreme. Without the satisfaction of the Supreme, although one may have many decorations of material qualification, the Lord will not be satisfied by that, nor can we possibly be satisfied by that. A godless society. A society that's fraught with dissatisfaction. And with that dissatisfaction, so much frustration. And frustration is a characteristic of the mode of ignorance. So people who are in a godless society end up in a society that's filled with the mode of ignorance. And with the mode of ignorance, ignorant behavior and speech, mindless acts and conduct, and destructive. So open any newspaper and you'll find so many reports of so many mindless acts of destruction and harm and violence and just plain stupidity coming out of this neglect of this principle. So, what I mean to say by this is the principle is a universally relevant principle. It's not just a principle for people who are all excited about achieving perfection of their spiritual lives. It applies to the whole society. The absence of it means that you'll have another kind of society, another kind of experience for people in general will be there. Something that's not explicitly said here, but it's worth commenting on. On several occasions, Prabhupada explicitly said that not everyone will become a devotee. The objective of the Krishna consciousness movement was to give everybody the opportunity to become fixed in devotion to the Supreme Lord. While giving that opportunity to everyone, Prabhupada directly, explicitly acknowledged not everyone is going to take that opportunity. So, however, that's okay. His indication was that if he gave different percentages at different times, but if even 10%, sometimes he said 5% of the population became fixed in the principles of devotion. I mean, imagine if 5 to 10% of the population at IIT became fixed in the principles of devotion, it would be a different place. It would definitely be a different place. It's not the case. Not likely to be the case anytime soon. But if that were to happen, or in society in general, if 5-10% of the city of Delhi became fixed in the principles of devotion, it'd be a different place. A lot of the things that go on wouldn't go on. A lot of the problems wouldn't be problems. A lot of it would be a different place. Not going to happen real soon, but that's the idea. So, percentage-wise, kind of like a pyramid structure. Same way that the varnas work. Very few are the brahmanas, and then so like taking a cone or a pyramid and taking slices going downward. Those who are administrators, those who are vaishyas, who are earning, producing, growing, and trade and commerce, not a good number of vaishyas. And at the base is those that are performing labor that support those other groups. So at the very slice, the top of the brahminical community are those persons, or within each of the groups, for that matter, those persons who are genuinely fixed in knowing the Supreme, devoting themselves exclusively to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If that can be accomplished, it's a different place. So, even amongst the, back to the IIT campus, and wherever your lives may take you, you'll surely find when you go to the next station of your life, there's not a lot of pure devotion out there. And it's to build that association, to create more of that association, it's a very arduous struggle. And it's not due to lack of material qualification that persons can't become Krishna conscious because they don't have enough wealth. Or they can't become Krishna conscious because they don't have enough something, material asset, enough fame, enough reputation. They don't have enough desire because they're eagerly in pursuit of those other things. Wealth, power, influence, control, sense, enjoyment. So, anyway, what Prahlad is looking at is what is really satisfying to the Supreme Lord. The Lord's angry because of the horrible, abusive, tormenting nature of Hiranyakashipu, tormenting the whole population, and particularly tormenting the Lord's pure devotee, Prahlad. who just happened to be his own son. So the Lord cannot tolerate that. So it was that same person who was being most tormented who was doing the pacifying. Speaking with humility, his lack of qualification. What is the qualification to pacify the Lord? It's the quality of pure devotion, nothing, no material asset. Then the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is always full in himself. Therefore, when something is offered to him, the offering by the Lord's mercy is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. Now he's analyzing. When an offering is made, it's something that should keep the offerer also in a position of humble, humility. There was a question this morning about how to remain humble, how to become humble, genuinely humble. If we recognize God's greatness and our tininess, you can be very humble. I don't know if any of you have been to Vrindavan lately, in the past several months, but one devotee who's there is Brahmananda. And you'll know who Brahmananda is even if you've never seen him before, because he's the biggest person around. Really big. Brahmananda. And he was the first temple president. He was much thinner when he was, now he's, he was still big though. And he's very, he has enormous affection for Prabhupada. Just talk with him, ask him to tell us when you see him. I heard you have so many stories about Prabhupada's life. Can you narrate some stories? And he'll probably take the time, even if he doesn't know you from anybody, and tell you some stories. In the course of telling you those stories, he'll start to cry because he has such intense affection for Prabhupada. He's a big crybaby. Great affection for Prabhupada. But in his position of the president, because of his big form, he was very strong, quite assertive personality. Everybody did what Brahmananda said. So, and he was good at it. He was very good at being a president. Very affectionate but very strong at the same time. So, in one morning, in New York City, big skyscraper buildings, walking along the city streets for a morning walk with Prabhupada, he asked Prabhupada, question about humility. How can I become humble? How can I think of myself in a humble way? And I heard him tell the story and heard another person who was on the walk tell the story, and the narration was almost identical. Not only what Prabhupada said, but the effect of what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada stopped, put his cane into the pavement. You were having difficulty becoming humble? And then he painted a picture of, just think of the personality of Godhead, who is situated in the spiritual sky. And from that personality who is situated in the spiritual sky, one expansion comes as Lord Balaram. And from that Lord Balaram comes Lord Sankarshan. And from that Sankarshan comes the Chaturvyuha. And from the Chaturvyuha comes Lord Narayan. And from that Lord Narayan comes the second Sankarshan. From the second Sankarshan comes Mahavishnu. And from that Mahavishnu comes so many universes streaming from his body. And in one of those universes, there is one planet called Earth. And that one planet called Earth there is one continent, North America. And in that continent of North America, there is one country, the United States. And in that country of the United States, there is one state, New York State. And in that New York State, there is one city, New York City. And in that New York City, there are so many avenues and so many big buildings. And there's one avenue, Second Avenue. And one tiny jiva is standing on Second Avenue and asking, how can I think of myself as humble? And Brahmananda said he just shrank into the pavement. Not only by the words that Prabhupada said, but the power of Prabhupada speaking. We're truly insignificant. And although we're truly insignificant, the feature of the illusory energy is very significant. We become captivated by that feature of illusory energy into thinking we're very significant. Whatever little thing we do, we become proud of that little thing. Even though the ability to do that little thing was borrowed from the significant. But the influence of that illusory energy shrinks and subsides in the presence of a great personality. In the presence of bringing our memory to the position of real existence, the existence of the Supreme Reality, it deflates that illusion and the pride that we have of whatever our position is in that dream. And we can wake up. Jiva Goswami describes that because although in a dream we may be considering so many great things, but it's all illusion, and when we wake up, then our real life begins or resumes. And those who help us wake up, they're the ones that are giving us that spiritual awakening or spiritual birth. And there's a great debt that we owe to those personalities, just like with Prahlad. The personality who he owed his great debt to was Narada, because Narada was his spiritual master, and Narada instructed him in spiritual science. And that instruction enabled him to become not entangled in the frivolous activities of the other schoolboys and to become situated in pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. And that attracted the Supreme Lord to come before him and benedict him and enable him to speak so wonderfully. He gives the example of how service to the Supreme Lord is for the benefit of the person who's rendering the service. He gives the example, it's a nice one, maybe you've heard it before, of decorating one's face automatically decorates one's face in the mirror. So only the difference is, in this case, metaphor is in reverse. When we render service to the Supreme Lord, that's decorating one's face. And then the reflection in the mirror, that's, we become decorated. So the gesture is that we're giving something to the Supreme Lord, but by doing so, simultaneously, we become decorated. Like I've given the example here several times, by the nice decorations offered to the deities. nice ornaments. I've heard descriptions of the extent of Krishangi's shopping, and she goes to South India and wants just the best things for her deities and can spend lots of time finding those very best things because it's for the deity and offering those nice things to the deity. If you look very closely, many very nice decorations. By that act of devotion, the deity is being decorated, but the decorator is being decorated. Decorated with the quality of devotion. And with that quality of devotion, all other good qualities follow. By serving the Supreme Lord, and by serving those who are very dear to the Supreme Lord, one becomes decorated. The benefit goes to the person who's rendering that service. So that's what Prahlad is saying. And the supremely decorated personality, Lord Nrisingadeva, is standing before him. Then he goes back, just cover a couple more verses and we'll finish. He goes back again to the position of humility. He's covering the point again because he wants the point to be, it's devotion only that can satisfy you. And he's acknowledging that the devotion that's within him has been a gift that he's received from Narada. He's very, very indebted to Narada for that gift. But aside from that gift of devotion, he doesn't have qualification. He has no pride. So he says, therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Supreme Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter into the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears his glories. So, right away, just as he was doing with his school friends, he's highlighting Bhagavad Dharma or Bhagavad Bhakti. Specifically, Bhagavad Dharma or Bhagavad Bhakti is based upon Bhagavad Katha. It's based on Shravanam, Kirtanam. Even the most, just as this other verse that he spoke before about the qualification of, even if low-born, if dedicating prana, artha, vacha, and mana, one's life and one's energy, one's mind, one's words, in service to the Lord, this dedication awakens as a result of proper hearing and chanting. One is engaged in that, and one has that opportunity and takes that up very, very carefully, attentively. Then may be no other qualification, just that one qualification. Then one can very feelingly, very successfully and effectively offer prayers. And praying, just one little comment, make lots of comment, but the effect of sincerely offered prayers to the Lord, it works. It's effective. It's even empirically tested effective. Just reading an article about a .com company that sells pills that do nothing. And even in the, it's called a placebo, it means nothing. And the way that the article was written was showing a picture of a person swallowing a highlighted pill that actually wasn't a pill, it was nothing. And psychologically, people, their illnesses perk. You know, their health restores, at least for a temporary while, if they believe that the pill is going to benefit them. Even if it says it's placebo, if there's nothing to it. It's whatever, sawdust or calcium or toothpaste or something. And you swallow it. I feel better now. But, and some persons say that prayer may have something like that too. Okay, something you believe in, you get all excited and you feel better. But actually, Harvard Medical School did a study to see if that's the case. Is prayer like a placebo? It's just a mind convincer that doesn't have, because placebos don't have lasting effects. The regression of that illness comes back. But they found, unlike with placebos, with prayer, it doesn't. At least, generally speaking. So, of course it's a higher position altogether. There's more devotion involved in praying to the Lord for pure devotion than there is praying to the Lord, please restore the sickly body to the condition of health so I can then engage in, you know, in sense gratification. Enjoying myself. Please help me so I can get well and so I can enjoy myself again. But if a prayer is offered to the Lord that one can become situated like Prahlad is describing, where there is no material shelter, but there's only shelter in the Supreme. And genuinely, that prayer is being offered. It's very, very attractive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of if someone who is already situated in pure devotion offers their blessings or prayers to the Supreme Lord? May this person come to that position of pure devotion. May another person become so spiritually endowed that they come. But winning the favor, gaining the favorable attention of a pure devotee of the Lord is the greatest thing. Therefore, the rendering of meaningful service, loving service, even humble service unto such personalities, to open one's heart to their merciful association, to win their favor and benediction, their blessings. Because receiving those well wishes of one who's situated in exalted devotion, that's better than our own prayers for our own upliftment. Well wishing of others who are very advanced in spiritual life. That's going to come up a little bit in Prahlad's prayers as well. The last verse, O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us. Us means himself, Prahlad, and his dead father who's lying in the ground over there, dismantled by Lord Sringadeva. These other personalities are far more exalted than my father and myself. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection